John 11 is the story of Jesus and Lazarus. And this week, this Sunday, we're going to actually get to see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. That would be pretty cool. Last Sunday, we saw Jesus is talking to Mary. Martha's at home. So Jesus tells Mary to go get Martha. Mary goes to get Martha. Martha's at home mourning. Mary whispers to her, the teacher is here, the master is here. Martha gets up, immediately leaves the house, runs out to where Jesus is. The Pharisees, who were there to visit, to mourn with her, follow her out, and they encounter Jesus. And Martha falls at Jesus' feet, and she is just brokenhearted about her brother dying. And the Jews are over here, the Pharisees are over here doing their fake mourning, while Martha's just boo-hooing at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is moved with compassion to her. And in 11:35, the shortest verse in English in Scripture, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And it'd be really easy to overlook that verse. Say, okay, Jesus cried. No big deal. But it's important to understand exactly why Jesus is crying and how Jesus was crying and what that means for us when we cry. Because his crying is a reaction to the brokenheartedness of Mary and Martha. It's a reaction to that. It's a reaction to the fact that Lazarus, whom he loves, is dead. So he's hurting, and he's hurting for them. And so tonight I just want to talk about this verse and what it means, and what it means for us. So the first thing we need to see is how Jesus wept. We see here that the word for wept here that John uses, there's two verses or two words in this passage for weeping that we see in this passage. The weeping that Martha is doing is a loud wailing. It's a lamentation. It's when you're so distraught, you just cry out and you don't care who hears you. I think it's referred to as ugly crying. You know what I'm talking about? You just, your ugly cry, you're just beside yourself, and Martha's just wailing out, and so are the Pharisees, but they're doing it for show. They don't really have the attachment to Lazarus that obviously Mary and Martha have. But the weeping that Jesus is doing here is a completely different word. It's not a loud lamenting. It's a silent, almost controlled sobbing. The tears, he's just standing there. You can imagine him. Martha at his feet, the Jews putting on their spectacle, and Jesus brokenhearted for Mary and Martha, the tears just silently just rolling down his face. It's a sobbing that he's doing here. It's a quiet, he wept quietly, but he also wept knowingly because he knows what's about to happen. He knew what was going to happen before Lazarus even died. He knew that before Lazarus even died, he was going to go and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So he sees that. Psalm 139, 1 through 3. This is really good. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows, the next verse goes on to say, he knows the words before we even speak them. So he knows the grief that Mary and Martha have, and he also knows that he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead, and their grief and their mourning is going to be turned into joy, yet he's still crying. He's still crying. But it's not a crying that's a hopeless crying, because he's crying quietly, he's crying knowingly, and he's crying hopefully. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul reminds us, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep," he's talking about those who are in Christ that have died before us, "about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." One of the saddest things that can ever happen is someone die without Christ, and the mourners also not know Christ, so they don't have the peace of the Lord. For us as Christians, to live as Christ and to die as gain, that we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we have that hope. And Mary and Martha have that hope. And Jesus has that hope. It's a hopeful crying. It doesn't mean that we are callous when people die, because it still hurts and there is still sorrow there. There's a parting there. But as Christians, we still have hope. We have hope. And so Jesus expressed in his crying that hope that he had for Lazarus, knowing what was going to happen to Lazarus immediately after this, and then also knowing that Lazarus was going to be with him forever in heaven. So that's the how of Jesus weeping here. All that is right here in this verse. The second is the why. Why is Jesus weeping? Well, he's weeping because he loves Mary and Martha, and he loves Lazarus. Verse 36. So when the Jews said, seeing Jesus weeping, said, "See how he loved him. How he loved him." Even the Jews who hated Jesus, who wanted to kill Jesus, who wanted to arrest Jesus, who wanted Jesus to be out of the picture completely, were moved with the compassion of Christ toward Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They were moved toward that. That Jesus loves Lazarus. He cares about Lazarus. Jesus loves us. When we're hurt, when we're struggling, Jesus loves us, and he understands us. When we're going through a difficult time, he feels that for us and with us, because he loves us. He has empathy. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I love this. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus loves Lazarus, and Jesus has empathy for Mary and Martha and the pain and suffering that they're going through. It is so good to know that when we are struggling, when we are hurting, when we are sorrowful, that God doesn't just turn a blind eye to that. That God knows us. He knows our hearts, and he knows our hearts are broken. Even when our hearts are broken over things that are silly, like crying over spilled milk, There are things that upset us. Maybe our sports team loses. And in the great scheme of things, that's no big deal. In the eternal landscape of things, it's no big deal. But if your team loses and you're upset, God sees that and knows that. And remember that we're people, and he's God. So he understands our weaknesses, and he understands that we're even going to be broken over things that are sinful and things that are sorrowful. And for instance, maybe we want something that God knows is not good for us to have, and we really, really want it, but God says you can't have it. It's not good for you, because God knows what's better for us, right, than we do. And maybe our hearts are broken by that, the fact that God wouldn't let us have what we wanted, like a little kid who wants something and wants something and wants something, and the parent won't give it to them because they know, like lawn darts, right? Okay, you're not supposed to play lawn darts. They're really dangerous. They're deadly, as a matter of fact. But you might have really wanted lawn darts. Well, your parents loved you enough to not let you have those, because they knew you'd throw them up in the air and try to catch them and stab yourself. They know it was how it happened. And you might be really upset about that, but the fact is that they knew what was best for you, but they still understand that you're hurting. They still want to console you. They still care about you. They still love you and understand your pain, even if it's over something silly. Always think about my teenage years. And my teenage years when I was dating, and I'd date somebody, and they'd be my girlfriend for like 2 days, and then you know how it is when you're in middle school and high school, and like all of a sudden they break your heart and they start going with someone else, and before we were actually going anywhere, no one was going anywhere. But we were going steady, right? And you break up, and in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter who you dated in 5th grade, or 6th grade, or 7th grade, or 8th grade, or 9th grade. In the grand scheme of things, none of that matters. That relationship was completely unimportant. But when it ended, you were really hurt. Because for one thing, when you're a teenager, you're emotionally compromised, and everything is a big deal, right? And so God is empathetic toward the pain that you're suffering, even over something silly like that. God is empathetic. He cares about us. And so that brings us to the third thing I want to talk about tonight. It's not just how Jesus wept and why Jesus wept, But what happens when we weep? Because we do. We get brokenhearted. We cry. We get sorrowful. We get frustrated. We get hurt. We feel neglected. We feel forgotten sometimes. We feel alone. And we weep and our hearts are broken. So what is God's response? Is God just up there somewhere, not caring and not feeling? Is he in heaven and not concerned about the things that happen on earth? You know, the deists, who were early on some of the founders of our country, were deists. And what that means is they believe that God created the universe, and they believe that God created the earth and put the earth into motion. But once he put the earth into motion and he created people and had them start living and moving and doing things, that God took his hands off of it and just kind of stepped back and let us do our thing. That God wasn't active in the world. That God wasn't active in the lives of his creation. But God is active in the lives of his creation. And so I want to encourage you tonight. And I really think this will be encouraging for somebody. What happens when you weep? What is the response to that? Do your tears... I know sometimes we pray and we feel like our prayers bounce off the ceiling. They never get to God right. But what about our tears? Well, the first thing you need to understand when you weep, and what Jesus demonstrates here by his empathy, is that God hears. God hears. Psalm 56, verses 8 and 9. This is David crying out to the Lord. It says, "You have kept count of my tossings, my tossing to and fro. You've kept count of that. You've put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" David says, "God, you know my tossing. You know when I'm laying in bed at night and I can't get to sleep because I'm so torn up. You know that. My tears, you've gathered up and you've kept in your bottle. They're right in front of you. They're written in your book. God, you know every tear that I've cried, just like you can count every hair on my head and everything about my life. You know the number of my days, and you know my tears. You know every tear I've cried. You're fully aware of it. God hears every cry. God hears every prayer. God hears and understands every broken tear that we cry. God hears that for us. And not only does God hear it, and it's not as if God hears it and then is inactive and unmoved by it, but God hears it and God comforts us. Psalm 10:17. "O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear." What David is saying here is, Lord, you know what's on our hearts. You know what's on our hearts. You know when we're hurting. You know when we're afflicted. And you will strengthen us. You'll strengthen our heart. You will help restore us to peace and restore us to joy and restore us to happiness. And you will incline your ear. When God hears us, He inclines his ear to us. He stoops down. He condescends to us to hear us. And he is concerned with us. And then the last thing I want to encourage you with is that God will cause our crying to cease. There will be a day when the crying, it will be over. That there will be no more tears. Revelation 21:4. I love this. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is talking about us. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, from our eyes, "and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." You know, I love what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, "In this world you have trouble." You will have trouble. "But fear not, because I have overcome the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have mourning in this world. If you care about anything, your heart will be broken in this world. The only way to not have your heart broken is to not care about anything. Your heart will be broken. You will cry tears. You will be in mourning. You will be in pain. You will be in suffering. You will be under persecution. So that's great, encouraging news. But it's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. Our suffering is for a moment. It is momentary. The cares and afflictions this life are over like that. This life is a vapor. It is gone just like that. I mean, it feels like we've been here for a long time, but honestly, in the scope of eternity, nothing. But when this life is over and we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are in Jesus, all crying is done, all tears are gone, death is gone, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more persecution, no more heartache, no more heartbreak. For an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be at peace and with full joy and with full rest and with full comfort and with absolute complete fulfillment of our lives for an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't even be able to remember the times that we were sad while we were here on earth. We won't even remember those times. So the next time that you're hurting and you're suffering and you're crying and those tears start pouring down as the Lord's tears are pouring down, just know that God hears you, that God cares, that He will comfort you, and He's already made a way so that one day that tear and every tear will be wiped away for eternity as you will experience the absolute fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus forever. So that is good news that will hearten you and strengthen you and hopefully encourage you tonight.